What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer here today. Three sports writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for three seasons now. And this is our first with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. Well, guys, we teased earlier in the week that we were going to have Eric Williams back on the show, reoccurring guest. He's the Chargers beat writer for ESPN, so we have him coming up in the last two segments of the show. But we're going to start with Corey Legit, a guy we talked about a couple shows ago as one of the guys that might get cut, has been officially cut. The Chargers did not pick up his option. So let's go ahead and start with that, guys. Corey Legit was a guy that, with the money he was making, we saw a very likely chance that he was going to be cut this season. If you were listening to John Kegley, you would know there was a 842% chance that he was going to get cut. And hey, you're right now, John, because Corey Legit, they did not pick up his option. Were you surprised when you saw that at all?
I was a little surprised, but only because the Chargers actually made a good choice for once. And this saves us a lot of money. But they also said there's a chance he could come back, which means they could still Charger and bring back a player that hasn't been that productive, but at least you might get him on a lesser deal, which means you have more cap space to bring in someone that's actually worth something.
Yeah, I think that's a good point right there. But I think the other part of it is just you don't have any defensive linemen really coming back next year, especially on the inside right now. Damian Square, Darius Filon, Brandon Meebane, and now Corey Legit are all unrestricted free agents. So you're going to have to bring some of those guys back. But yeah, they did save $8 million this season by cutting Corey Legit. So obviously that helps in going forward because there's no way he's going to get that from the Chargers or from anybody else. Honestly, I could not see him getting that type of money going forward. But David, he was still productive when he played in a very short amount of time this season. So do you think that they could bring him back on a, you know, much smaller deal?
Yeah, no, I mean, even Tom Telesco mentioned that there was a possibility that the Chargers and Corey Legit could come to some type of agreement maybe later on down the road. In so many words, he didn't say that specifically, but he said the door isn't closed for Corey Legit. But, you know, at $8.5-9 million, it's a no-brainer to let him go at this point. He's not worth that type of money. He did not perform to the contract that he signed, so that you absolutely get rid of him. Now, if you can bring him back for, let's say, 3.5, maybe 4, 4.5 with some incentives, then yeah, I might be interested because Corey Legit was a good run stuffer when he was healthy. And, you know, that's something that every NFL team needs.
And, John, I'll put it to you like this. I mean, Corey Legit could come back and be a part of this defensive line and play as good as he did last year, or he could get another contract and totally flop again like you were kind of insinuating. You have three guys in Damian Square and Darius Filon and now Corey Legit that we've talked about the Chargers maybe bringing back. Is Corey Legit at the bottom list of those three guys in your mind?
In my mind, yes. I would rather have Darius Filon and Damian Square come back because they are way cheaper. And then I'd rather go search for two guys that are maybe worth $3 to $4 million each that are probably going to be way more productive than Corey Legit that can also be on the defensive line, because then you could probably bring in some veterans that can teach Darius Filon and Damian Square a few tricks to be a lot better for this team, but also bring in guys that aren't going to eat up salary cap while being basically what Corey Legit was, which was just a Donald Butler type. You get all this money just to not be productive, to be injured. You don't need that on this team. We need guys that are known for staying on the field, guys that might be worth $2 to $4 million, guys that are going to be productive. And if you get one that's a veteran, you can improve your defense by teaching some experience.
Yeah, you do hope for a veteran leadership, but I don't know if you have to get that from Corey Legit, like you're saying. I mean, there are plenty of guys that you look at that could fill that hole, and we will be looking into that more later on in the season as we get into free agency and guys that we think the Chargers might target there. But guys, let's go ahead and get into it. We have Eric Williams on. We definitely want to leave some space for him to get on here and really share his thoughts. We have a bunch of questions for him, including what the Chargers are going to do in free agency, what the Chargers are going to do in the draft, maybe getting Phillip Rivers' predecessor and a guy to follow in Phillip Rivers' footsteps. So let's go ahead and get started, guys. Let's get into Eric Williams from ESPN coming on right after this. All right, guys, back here with the Locked On Chargers podcast, and now it is the time that we've teased on the show. Before this, Eric Williams from ESPN, the Chargers beat writer for ESPN, is on with us now. What's up, Eric? How you doing, man?
What's going on, fellas? I'm doing great. Trying to avoid getting swamped in with all the rain here in San Diego, but I appreciate you having me.
Yes, well, we are San Diego natives as well, so I feel you on that one. It was pretty hard to get in my car this morning. It was up to my knees. But anyways, we have some fun Chargers off-season stuff to talk about. We have so many questions regarding this team, Eric, but I'm going to start with just kind of the only, you know, recap of last year that we're going to get into because of the tough ending. We won't dwell on it too much, but just in your opinion, from what you saw the last time the Chargers took the field in their blowout loss to the Patriots, what were the main areas that you saw the Chargers lacking?
Well, I think defensively, because I think that's what a lot of people were talking about. Obviously, their depth at linebacker. You know, they had three of their starters on IR, with Jatavis Brown and Kaiser White and Denzel Perryman. And so that really necessitated playing seven defensive backs just because they're trying to get their best 11 out there. And so you saw that they just weren't able to match up. When they went seven defensive backs, the Patriots obviously ran the football very effectively. And then when they put their base personnel in, they had Kyle Emanuel and Hayes in there, that they threw the football. And so you need to get more athletic at linebacker, but you also need to get guys that you know are going to be available at the end of the year. So you need to get guys that are durable. I think on the offense side of the football, obviously you want to continue to add more talent on the offensive line. When you look at, you know, Teddy and kind of the struggles he had in pass protection, and obviously Fien it as well. Those guys are going to get better too, in terms of just being young players in the league. The more they see, the better they get. But I think you want to add competition at those two spots, at right tackle and left guard. And then I think the other thing is free safety. Obviously you have to address that position. You know, Jaleel's kind of been put into a tough spot because really he's a strong safety, but they feel like Derwin is best playing close to the line of scrimmage. And so that kind of forced Jaleel to play a place where he's not totally comfortable and probably not best at free safety. So they're going to have to figure out, either through the draft or free agency, how they're going to deal with that spot at free safety. So those are kind of the things that stood out to me. And also the fact that they didn't run the football as effectively as they would have liked. So, you know, how are they going to address that? Are they going to bring in some run blocking tight ends so they can be more physical? Offensive line, like I mentioned, you know, I think they're good at running back. I think Melvin and Eckler and the two guys they have behind them are solid, but they really need to be a little more effective in the postseason running the football.
All right. And then Phillip Rivers has said he wants to keep playing for a while, even though he's getting up there in age. So when could we expect a contract extension for Phillip Rivers? And what do you think that extension would look like?
Yeah, you know, I think it's possible that they address it this offseason. You know, he has a year left on his deal. In terms of amount and length, I think when you look at what Drew Brees got, you know, 2 years, $50 million, I think that makes sense. Because of his age, he's going to be 38 years old in December. You know, obviously, Phil's not going to be playing a whole lot longer, but he's already said he wants to be playing at least until the new stadium opens in 2020. So that's 2 years right there. So I think that would make some sense for both parties. It gives the Chargers a little bit of flexibility in terms of length of deal, but it also lets them know that Phillip's going to be around at least a couple more years beyond 2019. So I think, you know, two-year deal around that amount, $25 million per year, makes some sense.
In your bold predictions in an article that you wrote for ESPN.com, you said that this year is the year you think that the Chargers are going to draft Philip Rivers' predecessor. What type of pick did you see them using on such a quarterback?
I think I've made that my bold pick the last 3 years and have been wrong every year because they don't draft the guy. And I understand why Plesko doesn't draft a quarterback particularly early because, you know, you have a quarterback like Philip Rivers that you feel like can get you to where you want to be, which is a Super Bowl. So why waste, I won't say waste, but why use an early round pick on a quarterback when you can add another frontline player, either, you know, on offense or defense that can help you, you know, reach the Super Bowl. But I just think it makes sense this year. One, because of Phillip's contract status, only has a year left and he is getting up there in age, 38 years old. I think at some point you need to bring in a guy that you really like, that you want to start grooming as his eventual replacement. I think you need to address that position because you don't want to be left with nobody there once Phillip eventually does retire, which is probably going to be in the next 2 or 3 years. I don't think it'll be a pick in the first three rounds. I think it'll be a day two or day three pick. You know, the kid out of North Coast State, you know, he might make some sense as a later round guy, a guy that you can groom and develop behind Phillip because he obviously has the arm ability, the arm strength, and then he can move a little bit as well. So yeah, I do think that they'll take a close look at it. Perhaps they wait another year to draft a guy, but I do think they need to bring in a young guy to start to develop behind Phillip.
Yeah, because we all know that the window is closing for Phillip Rivers. So my biggest question is there any chance we could see the Chargers push all of the chips in and start making moves as if there's someone like the Patriots that are in it every year or the Rams who obviously loaded up for their Super Bowl run last season? Is there any chance the Chargers front office could put together something like that or would?
No, I don't think there's any chance because I just don't think that's the way Telesco operates. I don't think he's comfortable doing that. I think he's risk averse. You know, he was trained by Bill Polian, and that wasn't the way he operated. They use free agency to be selective to add players that they think have value in areas of need. You know, I think, you know, Mike Pouncey is a great example of a player that, you know, was just still sitting there. They had a need. The contract wasn't crazy, and he ended up making a Pro Bowl. So it was a great pickup by them. I just don't think they're going to throw a lot of money around in free agency and kind of, like you said, push all the chips in. I think they're going to continue to rely on the draft to really add foundational players, and they'll continue to re-sign their own players that they think have value to the roster. And then you really look at how much cap space they have. I think they're in the bottom half of the league in terms of cap space. Obviously, the move with Corey Legit frees up a little more space so they can go out and maybe get one guy, one splash person in free agency. But I don't think they're ever going to be a team that just goes out and gets 3-4 high-dollar free agents or makes trades like that.
You recently wrote a piece on Forrest Lamp for ESPN.com about his readiness for the next season. Do you think a starting spot is his to lose for next season?
I can't believe we took this long to get the Forrest Lamp. I mean, that should have been the first question, guys. There's a Forrest Lamp cult out there that's pretty strong and very interested in what's going to happen with him. I don't know about starting job to lose, you know, because I think you kind of have to respect the guys that played in front of him and the fact that they earned a job. And he has to earn the job on his own or else other teammates aren't going to really respect that. So I think there will be plenty of time for him to earn a job. And he'll get plenty of opportunity to earn a job because he's a second-round pick. And, you know, personnel is going to want to see him on the field because of where they drafted him. Is it going to be right guard, left guard? You know, I'm not sure. All the snaps that he's taken since he's been with the Chargers have been at right guard. So I would think that makes the most sense. And with Schofield, they do have some flexibility because he's played right tackle in his past. So they could move him around a little bit. When they signed Schofield, initially they signed him as a swing tackle, not necessarily to play right guard. So I think ideally they probably would like to have Lamp and Feeney as their guards, Pouncey as a center. And then Schofield and Tevin maybe battling out at right tackle. But, you know, things can change. This is the time of year where they're self-scouting and going through all the evaluation in preparation for free agency and in preparation for the combine, trying to figure out what direction they want to go. So when they come out of these meetings in the next week or two and they get to the combine, you know, the plan maybe changes.
Well, speaking of free agency, Eric, we all know that there's several positions, and you already mentioned that the Chargers need to improve and get better at. What type of positions do you think they're actually going to target specifically in free agency?
Well, I'll give you a player. I'll go one better that I think makes sense for them, and I think it's KJ Wright for the Seahawks. They need a linebacker that can cover and that can rush, and that's very familiar with the system, and that's KJ. He is getting up there in years. You know, I think he's 30, and he's had some injury issues, so that is a concern. But he's intimately familiar with the scheme. Gus Bradley loves him. You know, I covered KJ when I was in Seattle, and I think he's one of the top linebackers that'll be available in free agency. And so you know he fits. You know he's going to work hard. And I think even more important, he's going to mentor some of these younger guys that they have on that roster, like Jatavis and Achenna, and really show them how to play that position in Gus Bradley's cover three scheme. And I know that KJ is pretty close to Brandon. I know Brandon Meebane is going to be a free agent as well. I don't know if he's coming back or not. But he already kind of knows and is familiar with some of the people within the organization. And I think that would help in trying to recruit him in free agency.
Yeah, it just seems like it makes too much sense. But we do have more free agency questions we're going to ask Eric Williams coming up next, including what guys like Corey Legit, now that he's cut, Tyrell Williams, and other players, even maybe some Jason Verrett talk. I know you guys don't want to hear it, but we have that one coming up next. So stick around to hear Eric Williams' thoughts in the next segment. All right, guys, back here with ESPN's Eric Williams. Go ahead right now and go follow Eric Williams on Twitter at Eric_D_Williams to keep up with everything Chargers. He's the most plugged in guy on the Chargers, and he's ESPN's Chargers beat writer. So say no more, but we have more questions for Eric Williams. So I'll start with a question that, I mean, probably will make some people mad, but I think it's a question that has to be asked. Is there any way the Chargers would even think about re-signing Jason Verrett?
I think the short answer is yes. You know, I talked to Telesco about it after the season was over, and he didn't eliminate it as a possibility. Again, you have to understand this was a first-round pick. When he was healthy, which wasn't often, he was one of the best players on their defense. Guys in the locker room love Jason because they know how hard he works and they know the talent that he has. I think it just depends on what Jason wants to do and what the organization wants to do and what the number is, you know, in terms of free agency. I think they would allow him to go to free agency and then kind of establish what his value is. And if it's a one-year prove-it deal where you don't have to risk that much and you can bring Jason in, and let's say you bring him in just as a nickel corner and you're just going to put him inside. You know, they couldn't stop Edelman. One of the few people on earth that have the athleticism to keep up with Edelman, if he's healthy, is Jason Verrett. And that would give you the ability to maybe put Desmond at free safety. And you'd have to think, if both those guys are healthy, does that make your defense better? Again, he hasn't been healthy the last 2 years. I totally understand that. I understand why fans are just ready to move on because it's a little bit of a tease, because you know the talent but can't stay on the field. But again, I wouldn't rule it out in terms of him coming back. Do I think he's going to come back? Probably not. I think Jason's probably better off going somewhere else and kind of reestablishing his value as a Pro Bowl corner in the league and just, you know, new surroundings and all of that. But again, I know Telesco loves Jason, and I wouldn't rule it out that he's back.
Well, we talk about bringing Jason Verrett back. There's another guy that was cut, and that is Corey Legit, who was cut, and Tom Telesco has left the door open on his return. Do you think he is high on their list of guys to bring back, or do you think he's just going to be that guy that maybe they bring back if they can't find anybody in free agency?
I think similar to Jason, I think they'll let Corey go out there and kind of establish his value and see what the market is, and then see if it makes sense to bring him back after they've looked at other people I think Damian Square is probably a guy that's higher on their list because Damian plays all four spots in the defensive line and it adds versatility. He's a guy that played pretty well when Bosa was out as a five tech. He can play nose. He can play three tech. So I think he probably makes more sense than bringing back Corey at this point. But again, we'll have to see what happens with Corey. He's also still rehabbing from a torn quad, and I don't know when he's going to be fully healthy. So that could affect what his value is on the market. And again, these are players that they know better than other players on the free agency market, and organizations tend to be risk averse. And so they're going to take some unknown commodity over somebody that maybe is unknown, maybe is more talented, but maybe there's some things that you don't know about that player. You don't know how they're going to work in your system. You don't know their work ethic, those kind of things.
Switching over to the offensive side of the ball, Eric, Tyrell Williams mentioned, you know, at the end of the year that he believed that he was a number one wide receiver in this league. Do you think there's actually a market out there that will see him as a number one wide receiver and pay him as such?
Yeah, no doubt. I think that there's definitely a market out there. Look what happened last year. Look at the contract that Sammy Watkins got last year. Nobody expected him to get that. Brandon Cooks, you know, was traded from the Patriots and then signed a big deal. So there's already been other receivers that are similar to Tyrell in terms of vertical threats that can stretch the field that have made a lot of money. I don't necessarily think that Tyrell is going to be a number one receiver in terms of targets, but his ability to create explosive plays is unique. He's a big receiver at 6'4", 220 pounds. There's not a lot of guys walking around the earth that have his skill set. I think there's a number of different places that make sense for Tyrell. You look at the Colts with Frank Reich there and Nick Sirianni as their offensive coordinator. They're looking for more playmakers for Andrew Luck. I think that makes sense. Tyrell is from the Pacific Northwest. Seattle Seahawks are always looking for more talent to add on offense, and I think he would be a good fit for Russell Wilson in that system. Buffalo can use anybody that can catch the football, to be honest. And have a lot of cap space. So Buffalo makes sense. The Jets make sense because Gase runs a similar offense to what Mike McCoy had with the Chargers. So I think there's several landing spots. And because of that, I think that adds more potential for Tyrell to make more money. And then you have to talk about the fact that he plays. You know, he hasn't missed a game because of injury. He plays hurt. I know that he works hard just because I've been around him and seen it. So work ethic's not going to be an issue. And he's not really a diva receiver when you think about that part of it. I mean, look at all the issues that the Browns are having with Antonio Brown. Look at what the Giants are dealing with Odell. I mean, Tyrell's kind of the anti that when it comes to his personality. So I think, you know, that he'll be coveted.
Yeah, and it probably, with the Chargers salary cap, as it is now, it probably doesn't seem likely that they would bring him back. I mean, especially if he's going to make that kind of money, especially with those latter teams you're talking about, the Jets and the Bills, that just have so much cap space to be able to bring a guy in like that. But as far as the other Chargers, impending free agents, do you think there's any one guy that shoots to the top of that list that remains a must-sign guy for the Chargers this offseason?
I think Adrian Phillips makes sense just because, again, he's kind of like Damian. He has versatility. He can play strong safety. He can play free safety. He can play a couple different of those linebacker spots, and then he plays all of your special teams. So I think there's value there. And he, you know, made a Pro Bowl, and he had a great year. And I plus likes to reward guys that have kind of worked through the system and come out and have shown that they're impact players. So I think Adrian makes sense as a guy that maybe they want to potentially sign early. I don't think Tyrell, I don't think I'd be able to afford Tyrell, to be honest. Gates, I don't know what's going to happen with Gates, to be honest. I don't know if they're going to try to bring him back or if Gates is just going to walk off to the sunset and say, I'm good. I will say I can't see Gates playing for anybody else. I think he adds the most value to the Chargers versus any other team because of he knows the system, and he's just really comfortable with Phillip and guys like him in the locker room. But again, I don't, you know, are they going to be willing to pay Gates what they paid him last year, which was close to $3 million? You know, I doubt it. So those are kind of the names that jump out just kind of looking at the free agent list. I think the other one that will be interesting is Denzel Perryman, again, because of the injury issue. You know, he really had trouble staying on the field, but when he was on the field, he was pretty effective for them.
You wrote that Tom Telesco thinks that the American Alliance of Football League could be a feeder league to the NFL. What were your first impressions of the AAF, and do you agree with Tom Telesco?
Yeah, I watched a couple games, and to me it just kind of looked like the second half of preseason games that we see early on when you look at the kind of guys that were out there on the field. I thought the football was better than I expected going in, to be honest. And I think there's value in it. I definitely think the NFL sees value in it because the league is really operating similarly to how the NFL operates. And so they can go in and see guys running similar schemes, and it makes it easier to do the evaluations and get guys to add to the back end of the roster. So, yeah, I do think potentially it can be like NFL Europe was, you know, years ago, where you saw guys like John Kitna and Kurt Warner go over there and play well and then earn NFL jobs later because of how they played in NFL Europe. Now, I don't know what the structure is going to be if the NFL is ultimately going to buy that league and then, you know, subsidize it. I'm not sure how that will work, but I do think that the intention of the way they set it up was for the two leagues to kind of interact closely together.
All right, Eric, so we'll wrap this up with a little AFC West news. So recently, the Broncos, surprise, surprise, made another move to try to get a quarterback. They traded for Joe Flacco. So
yeah,
that's a pretty crazy move. I mean, what do you think about that? And do you think that has any impact on what the AFC West is going to look like next year?
Yeah. Well, certainly it'll have some type of impact. I don't know if it'll be positive or negative. We'll see what Joe has left in the tank, you know. I think for any franchise, if you don't have a franchise quarterback, you're always looking for one. And the Broncos obviously have been trying to do that since Peyton retired. I don't know if Flacco's the answer. I'm not going to say that he's going to fall on his face because he's a guy that has won a Super Bowl and led a team to a Super Bowl. I think a lot of it is fit and then what kind of players they bring around him so that he's comfortable. And then, you know, offensively, what are they going to try to do? Does it match his skill set? You know, he's a guy that's won games, so you have to give him credit for that. But I don't know if he's that much better than Case, to be honest. I'm interested to see, you know, again, what kind of pieces they're going to add around him. Are they going to do a better job of just protecting the quarterback in general? Because I think the offensive line has been kind of a mishmash of players for the Broncos, so they need to get better there. So I think just kind of, you know, I'll take a wait-and-see approach to what he does. But I do think, you know, it'll have an impact on the race. But, again, I don't know if that's going to be positive or negative in terms of the Broncos and what they want to do.
Yeah, I don't think anyone knows as far as Joe Flacco, but I think he could definitely use the change of scenery just for his own personal career and get out of that Lamar Jackson situation. But Eric, thanks again, man. We really appreciated having you on and spending some extended time with us. You're always knowledgeable and you always know what you're talking about, and you answered every one of our questions with the best kind of responses. So we really appreciate it, man. Thank you again. And everyone, again, please follow Eric Williams on Twitter at Eric_D_Williams. And just go on ESPN and click on the Chargers and you'll see everything that he writes. So stay plugged in on that. And Eric, thanks again, man. We really appreciated it.
Sure. No problem. Thanks for having me and willing to do it again if you guys will. We'll have you back.
Man, that was awesome, guys. I mean, he really had good answers for every single question that we asked him and gave us a good perspective. I'm really excited about the potential of bringing in KJ right now. It's all I can think about. But no, that was awesome. We definitely plan on having Eric Williams on again as the Chargers start making some moves. But that does wrap things up for today's show. Thanks again for checking us out, and thanks again for tuning back in to all of our regular followers. We'll be back with you next week to keep talking Chargers offseason football. We're going to look at some free agents on the horizon that potentially the Chargers could have some interest in. Now, obviously, we have one big one. But until then, guys, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC. Make sure to like the Facebook page. Locked On Chargers to get all of the latest shows. You could also subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts from, whether it's Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and leave us a 5-star review. We'd really appreciate it. And once again, if you want to get your voice on the show and tell us who you want the Chargers to sign in free agency, you got to call the Locked On Chargers voicemail. The number is 323-524-7924. If you call that number, text that number, we will read or play your voice on the show. We always do. But we will talk to you guys next week. Take it easy and go Bolts.